This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
You going to be able to do this? You and your feelings a little bit. You all right?
No.
What's going on?
Jake's cubbies are having a fire sale. He's all up in his feelings.
I thought they were your cubbies too, Russ. That's what I'm talking about, man.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, watch your mouth. You claim to be a big Cubs fan, but
I don't claim to be anything, man. Just a guy. Just a guy rolling through life who used to like baseball a lot. Now, kind of like it. I like the college game more. I don't have time for it, man. Can't do the baseball every day in the summer. Just can't. But I feel for you, Jake. I really do. And I hope that you're able to put your personal feelings and disappointment aside and really lean into it here and give us a solid top four at four brought to you this afternoon by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group.
Number one, former Vols Keon Johnson and Jaden Springer had their dreams come true last night in the NBA draft. Keon is headed to the LA Clippers. Jaden is headed to the Philadelphia 76ers with VFL Tobias Harris.
Yeah, the Philadelphia Volunteers, man. I like it. Well,
good for them.
And yeah, they're still shopping Ben Simmons. You slide Springer over there. Let him run the show.
He can hit a layup. He can make his free throws.
He can shoot free throws, too, yeah. Hey,
he's
man.
Not the best shooter in the world, but he can hit a three-pointer.
He's pretty good. So congratulations to both of those guys. And Eve Pons, who get picked up by the Grizzlies on a free agent deal. We're pulling for all those guys. Hey, the more Vols in the league, the better. It makes that league more watchable, and it enhances the value of Tennessee basketball as well from a recruiting perspective. I guarantee you that Tennessee's burning up the phone lines telling – all these dudes that
Absolutely.
They're recruiting going forward. Hey, did you see Tennessee last night? Two guys drafted in the first round.
Number two, Texas and Oklahoma officially accepted their invitation to join the SEC this morning and will become official members of the conference on July the 1st, 2025. But many sources are saying this could happen even sooner than that.
Yeah, I mean, they're just letting all the drama play out with the Big 12 right now and seeing if maybe the AAC can take some of those teams and just hoping that it falls apart. And they've waited this long. I think they're just going to keep their mouth shut and hope that the league falls apart. And I'd say if I were a betting man, those teams will be playing in the SEC this time next year.
And I would agree.
And number three, as we said yesterday, Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Los Angeles Lakers in exchange for Kyle Kuzma, Montrezl Harrell, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, along with the 22nd pick from last night's draft that ended up being power forward Isaiah Jackson from the University of Kentucky.
This is the weird thing about the draft is that league even more. I know it happens sometimes in the NFL, but how many picks in the first round last night were traded before or immediately?
Well, Keon was supposed to go to New York.
Yeah. Where would you
rather? I thought that was going to be a great fit for him, too.
Where would you rather go, Bear, if you're a young kid from the country,
Keon?
from Bell Buckle, Tennessee? Would you rather go to the bright lights of New York City or L.A.?
Probably L.A., but I think and he seems to be a pretty sharp young man. It would have been a great fit for Keon in New York with Thibodeau.
Yeah, I think it. Hey, man, you're just happy. You're happy to be there. Now, 10, 15 years ago, going to the Clippers might have been a death sentence. But now going to the Knicks is kind of a death sentence. And going to the Clippers, from a winning, being part of a functional franchise perspective, going to the Clippers, hey, they got a squad. Probably would have been in the finals this year if Kawhi hadn't been all banged up. So he gets to go to a ready-made team. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in there.
And number four, the New York Yankees have landed all-star first baseman, now former Chicago Cubs impact player Anthony Rizzo. In return, the Cubs will get two minor leaguers. And in the last hour, we have learned that the Cubs are also trading Craig Kimbrell to the south side of Chicago. And also, Javi Baez is going to the New York Mets. And as of 2 minutes ago, Chris Bryant is going to the San Francisco Giants.
Fire sale in Chicago. You got a World Series title out of it, Jake. You won a World Series, something most Cubs fans thought they would never live to see. Something many Cubs fans didn't live to see it. How many people died before 2016? Lifelong Cubs fans never saw their team win a World Series. You're still a young man. You've already seen it. They're reloading. And chances the Cubs are going to win another World Series here sometime in the next 50 years. You're going to be alive to see it.
Didn't think they'd trade away all those guys, though. Thought they would at least keep one.
Well, you're struggling this year, right?
Started out hot and had a really bad losing streak. I think it was 10 games. Yeah. And right now, I think we're fourth in the NL Central.
And those guys aren't getting any younger.
No.
You got a good farm system. Many of those guys are playing up in Sevierville as we speak. And you get some more prospects. You're loading it up. This is the way they won the first World Series. They're just loading up on prospects, developing them, and then watching it come to fruition. Chris Bryant played up there at Smokies Park for a year.
Fun fact, I was actually at Javi Baez's first game as a Tennessee Smoky.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just wish we could have got Jason Dominguez in return from their high A team.
All right, well, you keep your head up. It's okay. It's going to be all right.
No, it's not.
I know it's a sad day for Cubs fans, but I'm here to tell you, better times are ahead.
Yeah, but you look forward to the rebuild now.
True.
The journey. Thank you, Jake. That is the Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Well, the real estate market continues to just be out of control right now. Homes, as you hear Bo say, are selling quickly and for top dollar. If you want to maximize that profit on your home, there has never been a better time to be a seller in East Tennessee real estate than right now. Call Bo Kregner. This is what he does, man. He makes people money on their houses in a regular market. In a market like this, he's making people mucho dinero. So give him a call. It's free. He will walk you through the process, let you know what to expect. Doesn't cost a dime. 865-742-1035 is Bo's direct line. Tell him I sent you. He's going to take great care of you. 865-742-1035. Set up a free consultation with Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They'll get your home listed, they'll get your home sold, and they'll get you moved in to a brand new home over at the Kregner Group. BoKnowsHouses.com is the website. That's BoKnowsHouses.com. Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. Real estate the right way. Lucas Panzeca coming up here in about 12 minutes on the show. If you want to jump in, take a shot now. 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. So how are we doing in the overall medal count in the Olympics? Bear, USA, are we putting up a good showing so far?
Hit the music if I'm going to give my Olympic report.
Already on it.
Thank you, sir. Get to the official medal count.
Take your time. We're not on live radio or anything.
I want it to be officioso. Russell, you caught me by surprise.
Can't you fill while you go to the website?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that the United States is way out in front right now.
Okay.
Gold medals have been falling.
Yeah.
Here we go. Oh. Number one. Okay,
Bear's got his O-face on.
Australia with 22 overall medals, 9 gold, 2 silver, 11 bronze. Looks like South Korea comes in at number 4 with 10 gold medals overall, and an overall medal count of 34. Coming in at number 3, the United States. Where's my music? We've got 41 medals total, 14 gold, 15 silver, 11 bronze.
We're number 3?
Yeah, behind Japan. It comes in at a strong number 2 with 28 medals.
Japan number 2? I mean, I know they're hosting, but...
They've got 17 gold medals. And then coming in at number 1 is the Evil Empire. China.
Russia. Oh.
40 medals total, 19 gold, 10 silver, 11 bronze.
China.
I guess the medal standings are weighted towards the gold medal winners, Russell. It's really quite fascinating.
Evidently, are we gonna catch up? We always win the Olympics, don't we? What's the greater measure of success? Total medals overall or the number of gold?
I think you got to go with gold for me personally.
See, I think
especially in the premier events.
I think you got to go with total number of medals.
To me, the major, you know, the 100, the decathlon and track, there's several track stuff. Swimming, we should absolutely dominate in. Gymnastics, our women's team should always win gold. We're the SEC of the Olympic world.
I mean, I think that this is kind of like recruiting rankings, right? It's not necessarily who has the most 5-stars/gold medals. It's the overall ranking of the class, right? There's a lot of things you have to take into consideration. So we are leading overall medals. We've got 41 to China's 40. But China's got 19 gold to our 14.
Yeah, we need to get some more gold.
See, we need more gold, but I go by total medals. Again, much the same way in recruiting. The recruiting rankings, I always give more credence to the recruiting service that ranks our recruits higher. I'm just going with whatever metric makes the USA number 1.
Oh, here's another big thing, Russ.
Yeah.
What you got to look at is you got to have one that gets a lot of medals. And we're at number 40 with 1 gold medal. Like in the athlete rankings.
What?
In Taekwondo. Hold on. I thought that little girl from Suni Lee. She won a gold. Emma. Caleb Dressel's won 2. But we need somebody like Phelps. He used to clean house for us, man. We count on that guy for like, what, 7 golds?
Yeah, I hear
something crazy.
The Russians are catching up with us in swimming.
That's
and gymnastics, right?
Yeah, and it's ridiculous because they were supposed to be banned. They are banned.
Is that why they're going by the Russian Olympic Committee?
Yeah. I mean, they're juiced out of their gourds. Alabama's jealous of the Russian Olympic Committee team.
You don't think our guys are juicing our athletes?
Not like they were. Like they were. Putin took them all the way back to, you know, like late 70s, early 80s.
I think it's a darn free-for-all myself.
Do you really?
Yeah, I think everybody's doing something.
Yeah, but not like the Russians. The Russians have always taken it to a whole nother level. I got to say, you know, just me being me, I kind of respect it.
I mean, it's like NASCAR. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Yeah. I don't think we need to see, you know, the manimals we used to see coming out of East Germany again. Remember how brutish those women looked? When you were a little kid, you'd have been a little kid then.
Yeah, huh? But when you watch the track and field events now,
you can tell who's juicing.
All the women look like that. I mean, they all...
Just large muscle mass.
The skulls are huge. Yeah, the shoulders are just ripped. And you don't get that way from just working out and lifting weights, man. I mean,
Could you date a girl like that if you were single?
What do you mean? That's obviously on performance-enhancing drugs and has
it's just real, like bigger than you.
I don't know.
I got more muscles and stuff.
Well, I mean, it depends on what kind of personality she has.
I just had a really disturbing image in my head.
Russ is a lover, not a fighter.
I'm not. You think I'm really that shallow? You think I'm really that superficial? It's all just about looks? What are we going to talk about?
No.
What are we going to talk about? How are we going to carry a conversation over a nice supper over at the Longhorn Steakhouse? What are we going to talk about?
Well, in my case,
I just got through working out, Russell. They shot me up full of horse steroids, and really looking forward to finding out more about you, get you know you as a person.
Okay.
Now, see, in my case, it would be me wanting to order a cheeseburger or me wanting to order something I'm not supposed to order. Put that down. You need a salad. You need to lose about 50 pounds.
Mm.
Kind of like you were trying to tell me last week, Russ.
Yeah. All right, so that is the Olympic update for the afternoon. When did the track field start next week, I guess?
Yeah, they start getting revved up this weekend.
All right.
Swimming and gymnastics are usually the first week, and then we get into the track and field and the diving and some of that other stuff. So I like the platform diving. Those guys are insane.
Bear, understand
think
we
you
have
could do it?
The platform. Oh no, man, no.
Really?
I can't even jump off there, man. I'm scared of heights, man. I'll admit it. I'm not jumping off that thing unless somebody's got a gun to my head.
Bear, we got to get him up to Cedar Creek Bridge on Norris Lake. He's gonna jump.
Oh, I ain't jumping.
Nah, he
off.
Won't.
I ain't jumping
off
nothing.
Like deep water. He ain't jumping off anything.
We'll put a life jacket on him.
I know the man. He ain't going off that thing. I'm not going to fight Russ.
Little bit of breaking news coming out of Blount County. I understand the Red Rebels have boarded the bus. They are Butch Bowl bound. You're covering this developing story for you this afternoon. Some people, you know, we woke up to some.
You're bozo.
We woke up to some rain.
That's how big a clown you are.
We woke up to some rain. There's some scattered showers in the area. I was worried that this was going to be canceled, but.
No. They all play on artificial turf now.
Yeah.
Those fields drain. It's probably dry over there.
I saw where Texas switched to turf.
Really?
Yep.
I hate that stuff.
It seems like everybody's going to it, though, man. Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, now Texas.
Oh, poor Notre Dame, they won't be able to grow their grass out 3 feet long.
Well, I mean, they've been that way for years. They've obviously had a good team last year. Butch wanted to do it. It is no shock that you do have artificial turf at the Butch Bowl. Of course. Not going to have real grass there.
We don't want to have real grass. We want our athletes to perform on a consistent playing field.
I mean, you know what, Russ? Every damn high school in Knoxville has got artificial turf.
It's critical.
Including 3300, which I will argue vociferously was the best field in town. It was a cathedral over there. That was a perfect football field, and they ruined it.
Campbell County just got it installed this offseason as well.
Campbell County sucks, Jake. Come on, man. Don't come at us with Campbell
County.
Oh! He's not
lying.
Is that
too harsh?
God's country up there, man. Their football program might have fallen on hard times, but...
Fallen on hard times?
That's where I will not speak ill of the county where Rickard Rich Barbecue resides. That's in Campbell County, right?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah, up in Caribou. Right next to Cove Lake State Park.
Beautiful.
Stay with us, folks. The drive continues. Widespread Panzeka from Nashville. Coming up next on The Drive, more Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Citizens National Bank. Attention. We'll be right back. Welcome back. The drive continues here on Fan Run Radio. Russell LeBaire pleased to be joined by Lucas Widespread Panzeca of 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. LP, what's up?
What's up, guys? Pretty good. Drinking out of a fire hose with Titans training camp right now, but can't complain.
Oh, man. I bet that's a lot of fun covering the Titans in Nashville with all the expectations there. The NFL, it's so big, and having Julio in camp and everything. I mean, that's got to be just it's got to be exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it is. You hear from Mike Vrabel literally every day. You hear from a certain player literally every day, whether they're at the podium doing like media availability on the fence or they're joining our show. Like today we had Christian Fulton earlier this week, John Robinson, Rashawn Evans yesterday. Like the list goes on and on. So it's a lot of audio to keep up with for sure and try to dissect what's useless and what's not. But, yeah, no, it's been a blast. I mean, it feels like we never really got a break, though. Like, that's the thing. I'm like, damn, it's already training camp. I feel like there was never, like, 2 weeks where it's like, man, we got nothing to talk about, which I guess is a good thing. But
that's the way they want it. I mean, that's the way it's – there's no off season. It's just year-round, and they've turned it into this reality show, which is smart business on their move, and it seems like college football is trying to follow suit. You mentioned so you talked to Christian Fulton. A lot of – secondary going to be interesting to see how that plays out for the Titans with Farley coming in and Christian Fulton. They need those guys to step up.
Yeah, they're just so young there. Elijah Molden, too, the guy they drafted in the third round out of Washington, which might have been one of the best picks of this draft. A lot of that contingent on how Caleb Farley, how early he can return from injury, though. Started with the non-football injury list, which non-football injury was a football injury, but it happened in college. So since it didn't happen in the NFL, it qualifies for the NFI list. So there's not really a timetable on when they get him back, but definitely needs to be ASAP because you've kind of got a young replacement for Kenny Vaccaro there at safety alongside Kevin Byer too and Imani Hooker. So communication was just such an issue last year with this defense. And so with this young group, they're almost starting from scratch, but you've got the vets like Kevin Byer and now Janoris Jenkins, who they signed in the offseason, to try to kind of guide that along. But, yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. They need Caleb Farley back sooner than later, though, as they jump right into week one. It's going to be like, all right, welcome to the NFL, man. Here's DeAndre Hopkins.
I mean, is there a chance that he misses significant time of the season? Or they're expecting him to play, right?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, when he was asked about it, the night he was drafted, if he's going to be ready for training camp, if he anticipates any issues at the start of the fall, and his response was one of the greatest responses of all time. He said, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus about not being ready for the start of fall okay. camp in the 2021 season. I mean, we had that as a drop that I don't know how often we play. But, yeah, so nobody really knows, though. It's just one of those things. It's multiple back surgeries. There is a reason that he fell as far as he did. You know, if it's not for the back surgeries, that guy – guy's the first corner off the board. He's a top 10 pick. But, hey, it worked with Jeffrey Simmons, who came back a lot earlier than they expected 2 years ago. I think week 7 was that debut against the Chargers where they thought he was going to miss the whole season. So I guess they're hoping the similar thing will shake out with Caleb Farley. I don't think people will start really being concerned about it until we maybe get into next week and the week after, and there's still no movement on that end.
Yeah, I guess it's a delicate balance if you're the Titans. On one hand, it's a back injury. You really want to be careful with that situation. Don't want to rush him back and hurt him, and then he probably would be lost for the season. You want to make sure he's 100% when he steps on that field. But that's your first-round pick at a position of need. You need him out there in a season in which, I mean, let's face it, Lucas, the Titans are pretty much going all in for a Super Bowl this year. You might have – one more year of elite Derrick Henry output. You really need to be, and Julio Jones, not a young man either. So you need him out there this season if you're going to play to your potential.
The defense, just to be honest, the defense needs to be average for the Titans to be able to make a deep playoff run, because obviously last year it was so far below average that no matter how many points this offense scored, I truly don't think they would have made it past the divisional round. Maybe the AFC championship game if they were able to outscore some people. But this defense was just so bad last year, and that's obviously what they've worked the hardest to address. They're unquestionably more talented at that spot But it kind of comes down to the pass rush. I mean, as much as we can talk about how young this DB group is, life is a whole lot easier on them if the Titans are able to affect the quarterback. And I think John Robinson did just about as much as you could ask for him to do in that respect, drafting Rashad Weaver out of Pitt, signing Bud Dupree, who, by the way, is on the COVID list. So we'll see how that kind of pans out as he's still coming back from an ACL injury, kind of keeping an eye on that. But the big signing that it wasn't a Dupree thing, it wasn't drafting Farley, but it was the Denico Autry signing from the Colts playing alongside Jeffrey Simmons. Like, Simmons was literally the most doubled interior defensive lineman in the NFL last season. So anything that is going to enable him to get freed up and just wreak havoc in the backfield, that's going to kind of ripple across the rest of the defense. So I do think pass rush, the ability for them to affect the quarterback will be the biggest key there for the defense to just be average this season.
What about Dupree? I know he's coming off ACL, and Autry was a little bit banged up last year for the Colts as well. Are those guys going to be 100% by the time the season starts?
Yeah, Autry should be. Dupree is it's an ACL tear. I guess that happened in week 12 last season.
Yeah,
so
he should be
approaching. Again, you expect him to be ready for week one, maybe week two or three, but if he misses anything, it'll be in that early part of the season. But yeah, then suddenly you got to depend on a rookie and Rashad Weaver and Harold Landry, who's done it before, but really you want him to be a number two guy. They worked Harold Landry last season because of all the depth issues that they had. If Autry being on the defensive line will help alongside Jeffrey Simmons, but if you don't have Bud Dupree available early on, there's definitely cause for concern because you've got some pretty dynamic offenses right out the gate on the schedule.
What do you make of what's going on with Deshaun Watson down there in Houston? Everybody knows the off-the-field situation. He shows up to avoid being fined, and apparently he's walking through their facility making it known that's the only reason he's there. He still wants to be traded. He's being disruptive, and according to John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, they have him listed officially as the fourth string quarterback, and he was even lined up with the defensive backs taking reps at safety in practice yesterday.
It is such a sham what it's happened. That whole organization, like Randall Cobb, when Randall Cobb signs with the Packers, right? And he talked to the media and he said that his teammates in Green Bay were like, man, it's like he just got out of prison because he obviously comes up from Houston. He was emotional. He was crying. Not just because he's reunited with his Packers teammates and Aaron Rodgers, but because he's out of Green Bay. He called Green Bay a Fortune 500 company and the Texans a startup company. Like, it is an absolute sham what's happening there. It's just so he's there. They had him taking like a swing pass in the backfield. They've got him standing in with the defensive backs. Like, he's there so he won't get fined $50,000 a day, but he's maintaining. He still wants to be traded. And now the Texans are finally conceding that they will trade him. They want, you know, at least three first round picks in a package for him. And it's like, who's going to touch this guy? Like, it's just insane. It is such a messy situation because you've got all these cases. None of them are criminal yet. They're all still civil cases. It feels like the type of thing that's going to take a year or two to get figured out in any way. Like, I'll be honest, I don't see him playing football this season. Like, no. I still just don't see it. I'll be shocked if it happens. The Texans shopping that trade, to me, it's just kind of funny because I don't know what team could be dumb enough to take on, to give up that much draft capital for a guy who is going to be dealing with these messy legal battles for months and months and months to come. It's an absolute sham what's going on down there. They are an absolute lock for the number one pick. Makes the rest of the AFC South pretty happy.
Well, yeah, it is such a distraction down there. I mean, they're going to have a really bad season. And then you look up at Indianapolis today, Carson Wentz out indefinitely with a foot injury. I mean, that does not sound good. And we all know Jacksonville is obviously the first year of a rebuild with Urban Meyer. I mean, if you're the Titans, again, this is just the door is open. Winning the division should be the floor for this team, and it's all about how far you can go in the playoffs. All right, Lucas, one other Titans note for you. James Wilhoit, a name Tennessee fans know and love, a guy who cemented himself into Tennessee lore, kicking that 50-yard field goal to beat Florida in 2004, hired as kicking coach with the Titans. That's pretty big time for him.
Yeah, and he actually tweeted the Titans a year ago and called out the franchise for not having a kicking coach. And now he's the guy that gets hired to come in and help these two young kickers they have on the roster. That's definitely a big concern at this point. You could make a very serious argument that the kicking situation is the biggest concern on this roster right now. Between you've got a rookie in Blake Hobiel from Ohio State and a second year kid named Tucker McCann from Mizzou, neither of which have ever kicked an NFL field goal. Things reportedly did not go too well between the two yesterday. Collectively, they were 6 of 10 on field goals. So they've brought in a kicking coach, and like, I don't have to tell you guys about Will Hoyt's kind of exploits developing kickers in the state. The James Will Hoyt Kicking Academy. He's a local guy, Hendersonville native, you know, beloved, like you said, by so many people in this state. It's obviously a great move. But, you know, Stephen Gostkowski is still right down the road. He lives in Franklin. He's a free agent. That's always kind of rattled around our heads as just a fallback plan. Like, it can't
be this hard, Lucas.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the National Football League. You might not have a thunder leg who can boom it from 60-plus yards, but it should not be this hard to find a guy who is automatic from 40 yards in, at least.
Tell that to the Titans, who had literally 6 kickers in and out in 2019. Like, it was such a revolving door. Maybe some of it is luck, because you brought in a guy like Cody Parkey. You know, he had one bad game. They cut him. He bounced back a little bit. Titans, I think, tried to re-sign him. He said, nah, you know, I'm having a baby up here, wherever he was, I'm good. And then, you know, Greg Joseph is in and out. Cairo Santos is in and out. They kind of tried to rush back Ryan Succop a little bit. He looked awful. They cut him. And now he's a Super Bowl champion. He had a great season with the Bucs last year. It's been the one thing that they have not been able to figure out in these last two seasons since Succop kind of declined with injury. And now it definitely adds insult to injury just to see how good he's been with the Bucs since he left Nashville. But, no, it's just not any kind of guarantee. Like, you've got two young kickers who have never kicked an NFL field goal. Your fallback is Stephen Gostkowski, but you just hired a kicking coach for the first time in the Mike Vrabel era. So I don't know. It doesn't seem like something you do if you just plan on going down the road and signing the highest scoring player in NFL history, first ballot Hall of Famer, and Stephen Gostkowski. So, it is a huge concern right now, because we know how much that can swing games. There were a handful of games alone that the Titans could have won last season, the year before that, if it wasn't for the kicking situation. So that is at the forefront of everybody's minds right now. It kind of went under discussed, I think, in the offseason, but right now everybody's talking about the kicking situation. But, oh, by the way, hilarious how Mike Vrabel announced this today with James Will Hoyt. There wasn't a press release. Usually we get an email. The Titans have done this, this, and this. Like, they just signed two centers, and we got an email detailing everything. It was just Vrabel after practice today at the podium talking about Craig Aukerman, the special teams coordinator, and the kicker, saying, yeah, they're working with Craig and James. Will Hoyt, we hired James Will Hoyt as a kicking coach. And then he just kind of kept talking. He was like, whoa. Like, back it up. Like, we've been talking about this for weeks and months. Are you just going to try to slip that in?
Oh, he's total football guy, right? I mean, Mike Vrabel despises kickers. The fact that he even has to deal with this has got to be so frustrating to him.
Oh, yeah. It's the most hands-off position in football. Because, like, what is Mike – like, Stephen Gostkowski, they signed Gostkowski, and Vrabel had said it. Like, what am I going to tell Stephen Gostkowski about how to kick a football? Like, it has to be so frustrating. Mickey Ryan, who I work with on Blaine and Mickey every day, he said yesterday on the air, James Will Hoyt's right here. He's in the backyard. He developed some of the best college kickers in the country, a Tennessee guy. Like, why don't they go hire James Will Hoyt? And then today, the Titans hired James Will Hoyt. So I'm not going to give all the credit to Mickey Ryan, but that was a hell of a prediction by him.
And it's always blown me away in college football. I mean, the SEC is so big, so much money riding on it, so much attention paid to it, and nobody has kicking coaches. If you go watch Tennessee practice and Florida practice, anybody else, I'd venture to guess Alabama, the kickers are just off doing their own thing. They're just kind of, you know, it's so – you've got – if you go to a college football practice – look at the kickers, because everybody else, the O-line, the running backs, the receivers, the DBs, the coaches are on them, running it like boot camp. It's military precision. And meanwhile, you got the kickers, the punters, they're over on their own field, just kind of hanging out, sipping Gatorade. Oh, let's go punt a few. Okay. Like, just completely left to their own devices. And then how often do these huge SEC games come down to those guys who the coaches spend pretty much zero time with?
It's what makes football an incredible game, Russell. Yeah. It's the best job in sports, first of all, to be a successful starting punter in the NFL. Like, Brett Kern is set for life. I think he is the best punter in the NFL. But you're right. It also might be the most hands-off job, not just in football, but in all of sports. Like, what other sport or position can you think of where there's one position that just no attention is paid to, like, as far as development? Like, hardly. Like, there's not that many kicking coaches out there on staff, whether it's in college or in the NFL. Like, special teams coordinators aren't telling their kickers how to kick a football, right? They're organizing kickoffs and punt returns and everything like that. So, yeah, it is hilarious, but it won't be so funny if the Titans don't get it figured out pretty quick.
The most popular young men to walk the University of Tennessee campus over the last 30 years, it was not Peyton Manning. It was not Casey Clawson. It was not Joshua Dobbs. It was the freaking Colquitts, man. They just sat out there. They got all the girls. They didn't have to get hit, didn't sacrifice their brains or anything. They just got there and punt, went to the league, have made millions. I mean, those guys just low-key probably had the best life of any SEC football player the last 30 years.
Best job in sports. Not close.
Unbelievable. Lucas Piazzica with us. Lucas, last thing before we let you go, should any American soccer fan care about the Gold Cup?
Well, yeah, USA is playing Mexico in a final on Sunday. Like, that, I don't care if you love or hate soccer. That's appointment television. I don't care what the situation is with the teams, if it's the ABC team. USA is playing Mexico in a final on Sunday. Yeah, you should be watching it.
Hey, now wait a minute. I got to jump in here. Are you saying that?
You're speaking to your microphone if you're going to jump in. Thank you.
Is this what you talk about all the time, Russell? The insanity games when Mexico and the USA get together?
I don't know. Lucas, I've not been paying close attention. Now, I know because all our good players are in Europe getting ready for their club season, which is as it should be. Those guys need a break, man. It's insane the way they work, those guys. But is Mexico, will it be their A team, their B team? I mean, what kind of matchup are we looking at?
It is largely Mexico's A team. Like, your guys like Hector Herrera, Carlos Salcedo, Rodolfo Pizarro.
They're going to slaughter us.
Those guys are all there. Look, I don't know, man. That's why I think that if the U.S. wins this game on Sunday and wins this tournament, it'll be the best achievement Greg Berhalter
has
ever
had. Yeah, it'll be a huge accomplishment. But they're playing a bunch of MLS All-Stars.
It is a lot of MLS players. Yeah, very MLS heavy. It's been a fun tournament. Like, Canada has kind of come out of the woodwork. They've got a really quality side. They gave that game yesterday between Canada and Mexico, the semifinal, was insane. But look, this team has kind of found a way this whole tournament. Obviously, this is by far their toughest test. Mexico is without their biggest star of this group, which is Chucky Lozano, who plays for Napoli in Italy and a really dynamic player on the wing. He got hurt pretty seriously in the first game of the group stage, out for a while. So they're without one star player. But if the USA can find a way here on Sunday, like, that is one reason why people should be watching. Like, if the USA can find a way to beat this Mexican team, and tempers are going to be flaring, like, I fully expect stoppages and busts up and, like, 12 minutes of stopping.
Oh,
time.
I saw that crap they were pulling last night. The Mexican team is just, man, what a bunch of – it's a bunch of babies. A bunch of babies.
Their fans can be – so, you know, they're doing – whenever slurs, you know, racial, homophobic, whatever, start raining down from the stands, they're stopping games. They're basically warning fans, if you don't stop, like, we'll cancel the game for the day, come back tomorrow. So the Mexican fans are raining down with that stuff, as they usually do, last night, late in the game, and they stop everything in stoppage time for a couple minutes. So they add a couple extra minutes to stoppage time when they resume. And then Mexico, that's when Mexico is able to find the winner in the 99th minute. So they literally benefited from that.
They should give penalties for that.
I agree. I think they might get to that point. Like, you literally saw Mexico win a game in regulation yesterday. There were 7 minutes of stoppage time. They won it in the 99th minute because they had to stop due to the fans and all the policies.
Well, they did that in the Nations League game, championship that we won. Yeah, it's gross, but all right, we'll be watching Sunday, and no matter what happens Sunday, You can't take the CONCACAF Nations League away from the United States men's national team, Lucas. No. We won that.
No. We won that. A prestigious tournament. Yes.
And that was our A team against their A team. That was it real. Was. That was not whatever this is.
This is also Greg Berhalter figuring out a way to just figuring out who he has for the World Cup qualifiers outside of those stars that we had in the Nations League that are in Europe right now. So it's an important tournament for him, an important game. But again, USA-Mexico in a final. It is. I promise you, it is can't miss TV.
All right, good stuff. Lucas Panzeca, at Lucas Panzeca on Twitter. You hear him, the hardest working man in Nashville, 104.5 The Zone. What, they got you working, what, like 9 to 3 in there right now at The Zone?
Yeah, we're on air 10 to 3, so I'm in here like 8 every day. I'll probably be here another hour or so, but football is really going to crank up because I'll be doing high school football on Fridays on The Zone with Will Bowling. I'll be doing some Titans radio stuff on Sundays. I mean, I'm looking at one off day a week this fall, and that off day is going to consist of gouging my eyes out, probably watching Tennessee football. So just strapping in. Let's do it.
Well, you're not optimistic about Josh Heupel and the Vols?
No, that's just like my default. No, I'm optimistic that they will make it fun, that it could be a la Lane Kiffin Ole Miss last season.
There you go.
We'll see.
All right, Lucas. Appreciate the time as always. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Lucas Panzeca making his presence felt on The Drive this afternoon. Open up the phone lines to you. Once again, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show. Quick timeout. The Drive continues next on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
If you own a business or have a website, you need... Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Love Lucas Panzeca. Reminds me of myself back in the day, man. Not taking any days off. We'll see if the radio business beats that out of him here in about 20 years. What did you learn, Bear?
Lucas Panzeca? I mean, you guys talked a lot about the Titans. And then I'm glad he let me know that Mexico's playing the USA.
Yep.
You said that's a wild thing to watch every time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to explain. People were asking me about it on Twitter yesterday because I'm a huge soccer guy, but I've not been watching this tournament much because all our guys are in Europe, man. This is not the real United States national team that we're going to see later this fall when World Cup qualifying begins. Which, I mean, I just feel like those are much more important than the Gold Cup. I mean, listen, there's a trophy on the line Sunday. We're playing our arch nemesis, our rivals. Yeah, I'm going to tune in. I'm going to hope we're going to win. But, I mean, Mexico is going to be a huge favorite. It's basically like, if you want me to put this in football terms for you, it would be like if we're playing
Florida?
We're so bad. All right, basketball. Like let's do
Florida
basketball.
In the 90s.
Yeah, it would be like if we were playing Florida in the 90s and both teams are really good and we played with a walk-on quarterback and three or four walk-ons starting on both sides of the ball. It's not a real representation of who we are.
No.
So... it'll be interesting to see, though. Sam Kahn Jr. of The Athletic coming up here in hour number 3. We'll get the reaction from down in the Lone Star State about everything that has transpired the past 8 or 9 days, as it is official now. Texas and Oklahoma have been accepted into the Southeastern Conference starting in 2025, although nobody expects it to take that long. Let's go to the phones. 546-8200. ZR is up first. Good afternoon, ZR.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, bud.
We're over here at the drunk tank watching Drunk Loaf.
Watching what?
Drunk Loaf.
Drunk Loaf.
Kudlow. Have you ever seen Kudlow? He had some good guests on just a minute ago.
Kudlow? What the hell is Kudlow?
It's on Fox Business Channel. We call him Drunk Loaf.
Let me get this straight, ZR. You guys are day drinking at the tank, watching CNBC? Fox. Watching some kind of Fox. Business channel?
Yeah, Fox Business Channel. Drunk while had some good guests on.
Well, you got to be drunk to watch cable news anymore, so God bless you guys.
Guys, what's going to happen this year in football?
Are we going to
bring Fulmer back to correct things again?
Fulmer's done. Stop that. Why you always got to bring up Fulmer, ZR? What is it about Fulmer? You're obsessed with the guy. It's not healthy.
Well, I like his jogging suits for one. I mean, that kind of infatuated me. Did y'all not like his jogging suits?
I liked that last press conference when he was wearing the jogging suit top hoodie with a blazer. That was an interesting look. He's always been a trendsetter and a fashion icon of East Tennessee, Philip Fulmer.
He sure has. He's been a really awesome coach, too.
Excuse
me? Do you not agree? He's been a real awful head coach, too. Would you not
agree? No, I would not agree. Guy won a national championship. What? At about a 70%? I mean, he's the best coach we've had in ages.
How many times he beat Florida?
About as much as anybody else did in that time.
Yeah, you're right about that. Bear, what song did you want to hear?
Something to the tune of Yesterday. I can't remember what you call it.
I can't either. Yesterday, all my troubles started at the Florida game. The second half, we got blowed away. I can't believe we lost that game. Suddenly, all the sheep are coming after me. The second half looked like Flabner forgot his head coach back at home. Oink, oink.
Oh, my God.
Preach on him.
I mean, remind me why we take those phone calls again.
Because he's incredible. Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer.
The hell are we doing with our lives?
He's like the Jim Thorpe of local Knoxville radio
callers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great comparison. Just a five-star athlete, huh?
Oh, he's incredible. The music, I love his songs. They're incredible, Russ. The oinking. We ought to get him to call Christopher Gabriel. See, we ought to get him to call.
Yeah, that's what we need to do. I'm sure Chris would really appreciate that.
How do you think the greater Oakland area would like him?
They would not know how to react.
Jason is next. Good afternoon, Jason. You're on the drive.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing today?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Pretty good. I tell you, I didn't expect to turn on the radio and hear Bear, who is a cancer survivor, congratulations, take a shot at Campbell County, whose head football coach's son is going through a battle with cancer.
Well, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, Jack.
And I will keep him in my prayers. And I hope the young man recovers.
I certainly appreciate that. Hey, I'm relatively new to the area. I was just wondering if once the fall sports get kicked up here, will we have like a segment a week or something where we could talk a little high school football?
High school football finds its way onto the drive. And I will warn you, since you're new to the area, people in East Tennessee are probably more passionate about high school football than they are college and pros. And at times it can get downright ugly and people step over lines. So just a warning.
I love high school sports. I just think they're great. I just was wondering if we could hear a little high school talk. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate the phone call. We will be talking plenty of high school football this fall. And we do have an update. The Red Rebels have landed on Cedar Bluff, the Butch Bowl, tonight, big scrimmage coming up between Maryville and Cedar Bluff. Or where'd you go to high school?
Go to hell.
Catholic. I'm sorry. What would the folks over at Catholic say about you telling me to, quote, go to hell?
They listen.
They teach you better? They teach you better than to blaspheme like that?
You're trying to get me in trouble with the nuns again, aren't you?
No, just it's an outrage.
I'm trying to get us to the break before you do get in trouble.
Stay with us. Jake's got the top five at five. Coming up next, more Fan Run Radio. Coming up.